Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to a new episode of Boutique Digital Marketing, the show that tells you everything you need to know about business development and digital marketing. I'm Rita Sekali, founder of Boutique Digital Marketing, the digital marketing company, and professor of business here in Southern California. Today, we're going to be talking about writing a vision and a mission statement, as well as a domain name. We also have an amazing interview for you with the founder of Lebne by Lulu, Leal Seydedin. So that's something you don't want to miss. So stay tuned. All right, you guys, so we begin our first segment by talking about mission and vision statements. And honestly, if you've talked to almost anyone in business, you've probably heard of the importance of having a mission and a vision statement. You may have even developed these statements. So what we're going to do in today's segment is we're going to talk about writing and bettering your vision and your mission statement for your organization. So let's begin with a vision statement. A vision statement, you guys, is so it can really be just such a buzzword in today's business and or today's world of business. So it may seem like this big, confusing thing, but it's actually quite simple. A vision statement is the company's outlook for its future. In other words, where is your company headed? So we know that a vision statement is an essential part of creating a business plan. And people keep saying that because it's such a big buzzword. But the thing is, why? Why is it so important? Well, what it really does is that it sets in motion your strategic plan for your company. And it gives it a clear path to proceed towards. So not only does it help you really identify the future overall look of your company, but it also does something else for you. It helps your employees, like it gives them a clear understanding of your core values, where you're going, where their future is headed, as well as a part of your companies. So it helps your employees, your potential employees see, okay, as I'm applying for this company, I know that this is where it's going to be. And it helps your customers understand what you stand for and what it is that you are hoping to achieve, right? So typically, your vision statement should answer the following questions. Things you want to answer are like, what does your company aspire to be, right? Because we're talking about the future. So you're looking for what you aspire to be. How does your company plan on doing that, whatever it is that you aspire to be? And how would you like to impact the community? Because we know that a really good business is not just about taking money from people, it's about providing something. And not just in terms of services or products, but also in terms of the impact and the positive impact, really, that it leaves on the community. So the first step in creating your company's vision statement is to create or to begin with a time frame. So basically, are you talking about 5, 10, 15 years to accomplish your vision? What is the end goal for that vision, right? When do you hope to accomplish this by? And here's the thing, you guys, a vision statement could be the length of your company, right? It could be like an everlasting thing, hopefully, if it lasts through the ages, right? That could be the deal, but it doesn't have to be. So the second step, so this is the first step. The second step would be to take your time to do your research, to write, and then to write again, and then to write again. So write and rewrite and rewrite. Basically, what you want to do is you want to acknowledge that your vision may not be the first sentence that you write down. So write things down, brainstorm, do some research, brainstorm again, amend what you need to amend, and then decide what your vision needs to be. And honestly, you guys, a vision statement and a mission statement seem like these very superficial things that, oh, like we're just having them because they need to kind of, it looks good to have them. But there's really more to it than that. It really does set in motion your strategic plan. It really does say, okay, these are the cornerstones on which I will build my company. And that's a big deal. You want a company that's grounded, that has a really good foundation. So it should not be something you take lightly, nor should it be done in one sitting. Take your time, get feedback. Your goal should be to create a vision statement that resonates with you, with your employees, and with your potential customers. So what we're going to do is we're going to take a few examples so that you can see what we're talking about. And then you can see that in these examples, the vision is clear, it's purposeful, and it is inspiring. And really, for a lot of them, it lasts the lifetime of the company. So we have Teach for America, for example. Their mission statement is, one day all children in this nation will have the opportunity to attain an excellent education. So, right, we know the purpose of it. We know that they want to give people the opportunity for excellent education. We know that this is happening one day, right? And they're working towards that goal to get to that one day. And we know where. In this nation, this is Teach for America. So obviously the nation is America. The next one we have is Creative Commons. Creative Commons, their vision statement is realizing the full potential of the internet and universal access to research and education, full participation in culture to drive a new era of development, growth, and productivity. For those of you who don't know what Creative Commons are, they are this platform that kind of gives artists or writers or anyone really who's looking for things that are licensed online, or some of them are Creative Commons licensed that are they can use them anytime and they don't have to cite. Some things tell you that they're licensed in a way that it's open to the public, but you still have to cite the person that's using them, that you've brought them from. So that's kind of what Creative Commons does. And it really, their vision is realizing the full potential of the internet, because there are so many things that we can share, so many things that you can give to people and people can take back through the internet, so that it really does provide or drive development, it drives growth, and it drives productivity through that sharing. And the last one that we are going to look at is Disney. And Disney's vision statement says to be one of the world's leading producers and providers of entertainment and information. And you really, everyone knows Disney around the world. So you can kind of see that this does match what it is that they do. And it really tells us that this is what they hope to achieve. Their hope is basically to tell the world and to become one of the world's leading producers and providers of entertainment and information. And that's it, you know? So a mission statement, you guys, it differs from a vision statement in that it provides really much more of a tangible goal versus the abstract concepts that we're talking about in the vision statement. And what it does, it defines the product or service you're offering, as well as your target market. And it identifies the problems or the passions that your company focuses on. And so to write this mission statement, as always in business, the first step is doing your research. Research is extremely important in all areas of business, but particularly when we are writing mission statements, we want to focus and we want to really just do the research, because we want to focus on what it is we are trying to attain. Okay, so the first thing you want to do is maybe look for inspiration. So look at companies that you admire. You may not have read their mission statements before, but this, you guys, as you're writing your mission statement, this would be a great time to do that, because odds are the reason why they've left such a great impression on you is because they have a clear understanding of who they are and what they do. And it's a very transparent and it's a very clear. So this mission statement, it governs their business ventures. And once you have it, and once you've read it, basically, you can see how it trickles down to you, how it trickles down to their products and services and eventually made your way or its way to you so that they've made that impact on your life. Once you've done that, you want to answer the following questions as you begin to write your mission statement. And these are things like, what products and services does your company offer? It sounds very basic, very elementary there, but this is where we begin. What do you offer? What do you do? And the second thing is, who's your desired customer base? Number three is, what does your company solve? Or maybe like the problem that it solves, or what does it highlight in terms of passion for the customer? We know because some companies tend to focus on issues while other are solving a problem, while other companies focus on passion. For example, companies that make tennis rackets aren't necessarily solving a problem. What they are doing is selling rackets to highlight the customer's passion for playing tennis. And lastly, you want to answer the question of, how does your company solve that problem or highlight that passion? Okay. So the third step that you want to do, we went through one, we didn't three, went through two, now we're at three. And the third step is that you want to set aside that mission statement for a little while and then come back to it. As we said earlier, you guys, the key to good writing is rewriting. So you want to get feedback. You want to ask questions. You want to edit and write and rewrite until you perfect your statement. Because this is one of the first things that people will look at. They want to know who you are, what you do, why are you so important in this world, right? Why should they invest into your company and buy your products or services? So this is extremely important. Let's go back to our examples, but now we're going to look at their mission statements. So for example, Teach for America, their mission is Teach for America finds, this is, I'm quoting, Teach for America finds, developed, and supports a diverse network of leaders working together to end educational inequity. Our alumni, corp members, and staff work in schools and in every sector and field that help shape educational opportunity in America. The TFA community is bound by a set of core values and shared commitment to diversity, equity, and inclusiveness we envision for our country. So again, very clear. This is what they do is they find, develop, and support diverse networks of leaders, and they work towards educational inequalities or inequities. And they who do they work with? They work with alumni, they work with core members, and they work in staff in schools, right? We know where they work, we know what they do, and we know what they believe in. They believe in diversity, equity, inclusiveness that they want to see in our country. Okay, so the next one we have is Creative Commons, which is the one we were talking about earlier. And what do? They provide Creative Commons licenses and public domain tools that give every person and organization in the world a free, simple, and standardized way to grant copywriting permissions for creative and academic work, ensure proper attributions, and allow others to copy, distribute, and make use of these work. So again, we know exactly who they are, we know what they do, and we know where to kind of find them, right? What impact they have on the world. And again, lastly, we are going to look at Disney, and Disney's mission is to entertain, inform, and inspire people around the globe through the power of unparalleled storytelling, reflecting the iconic brands, creative minds, and innovative technology that makes ours the world premier entertainment company. And again, it's very much, we know exactly what they do. They entertain, they inform, they inspire people. We know where they're doing it. We know how they're doing it. We know that it's unparalleled storytelling, reflecting iconic brand, creative mind, and innovative technologies. So there we see exactly who they are, what they do, and what it is that who it is they are trying to reach and where. So that's it for this segment. Stay tuned for the next one. We are going to be talking about what is in a domain name, why do you care about your domain name, and so forth. Right, you guys, so in this segment of Boutique Digital Marketing, we are going to be talking about domain names and what is in a domain name, you guys. So one of the first things that you are told when creating an online presence for your business is to create a website. You've guessed it correctly. Okay, now that's some really good advice. You do need a website. That's an awesome thing to have. And although it might not seem like it, because there are so many websites out there, creating a website should be a big deal for your business. And that big deal begins with choosing the right name. So, what is a domain name? A domain name, you guys, is the name you choose for your website. For example, Boutique Digital Marketing, the website is boutiquedigitalmarketing.com. And although ours does, your domain name doesn't really have to end, or it doesn't have to be the same as your business name, and it does not have to end with .com. It could end with things like .org or .net, or really anything within your industry that is very prominent, okay? So if you decide to deviate from the .com, just keep in mind that because it's so popular, most people end up typing .com anyway. So just keep that in the back of your mind. It doesn't have to be .com, but it could. And if it is, if it isn't, just then it might be intuitive for people to just type it in. No matter which one you choose to go with, the domain name should be related in some way or another to your business so that people can easily link it back to your business and link it back to its function. So how is it that you choose the right domain name? Well, there are three things that you should focus on, and these are relevance, memorability, and usability. What do we mean by that? Well, let's start with relevance. Okay, so although it's really just recommended that your domain name is the same name as your business, it doesn't have to be. It really doesn't. However, it really does have to be relevant to the products and services that you provide. For example, some company names may be too long or too general. If your business name, let's say, is Los Angeles Cleaning Services, you might want to choose something like lacleaning.com because that name would be too long. You can also choose a name that would be relevant for your business. Okay, so by saying, you can say cleaning.com, but that's not very relevant, right? That doesn't tell me exactly where you are. Whereas lacleaning.com, tells me a little bit what you do and it tells me where you are. So that makes it a little bit more linkable to your company. Here's our example. So GoGo is a company that provides internet services in flight, and they could have had the domain gogo.com, but they don't. Their domain name is actually gogoair.com. So using gogo.com versus gogoair.com as their domain may not have identified to the customer what it is that they do, what are the services that they provide, because they're not just an internet company, they are an internet company that is purely in the air, so as you are flying. So it makes sense that they use gogoair versus gogo.com. So the services, if had they used the first one, would not have been obvious. At least they wouldn't have known that it's something to do with flight. So they could have also chosen gogointernet.com, but also, like we said, it has to be relevant and it can't be too general. Gogo Internet is too general. They wouldn't have known that it's in the flight. So that's that one. There's also memorability. That's our second one that we want to hit. So your domain name needs to be something that is easy to remember. In most cases, you guys, the shorter, the better, because they are easier to remember. A good idea is to use acronyms. If we go back to our example, LA or Los Angeles Cleaning Services, you can choose lasc.com. In the case of Radio Mount Lebanon, for example, the website is rmlfm.com. It uses acronyms and it specifies the type of industry by adding the FM, telling us that this is a radio station, and it's easy to remember and it's innovative, right? RML, Radio Mount Lebanon, FM because it's a radio, and .com because it's widely used. The third and last thing that you'd want to consider is usability. Your website needs to be used in a way that will help bring customers to your business and not deter them away. So think about it this way. When you are opening a brick and mortar, you will look for the most strategic location and use it. You generally wouldn't pick the store that is turned, you know, like it's really just tucked into the building. Hardly anyone can see it, right? You don't want that store. You want the store that's out on the street where it could bring you the most business. Same thing goes for websites. You need to pick a domain name that is not hidden by any obstacles. What do I mean? So, what I mean is that you want to make sure that nothing is blocking your potential customer from reaching your site. You might want to avoid things like hyphens or any special characters because they make it harder to get to your site. You also may want to avoid using two words that begin and end with the same letter. If word one ends with E, word two should not begin with E, because the person trying to type in the email may not get to your site because they dropped one of the letters, right? This is not something that you want to do because it makes things harder. It gives them obstacles from actually reaching your site. So some final tips for choosing your domain name. You might want, as you are picking your domain name and you're finding out where you can, you know, you could purchase it. There's websites like GoDaddy and so forth. But as you are going through that process, you might want to buy different variations of that domain name. It could be, you know, maybe you bought it .com, .org, .net, so that anyone who types in anything else can actually still reach your website. And you do that by getting your website to redirect to your original website, right? Getting that variation to and redirecting it back to that original website. And you do that for another reason, which is so that others don't buy it. So that, let's say you've built, you've spent years building this big reputation, you've built your website, you're doing great. And then someone else comes in and they take that same domain name with a different ending, then they may start taking some of your customers away and you don't want to do that. You also might want to buy these variations with different spellings because, as we said earlier, let's say like you have two words that both end with E or one ends with E, one begins with E. You don't want to confuse people and lead them somewhere else. So if your business name is more likely to be misspelled, then you might want to buy that misspelling as well. And again, redirect it to your business. The other thing that you can try to do, that if your business name that you want or the domain name that you want is not available, you can try contacting the owner, and you can do that by something called Whois search. You can do that through GoDaddy again, and you can do it through whois.net, and you find out who owns that website, and you can then email them and so forth. Whatever you guys decide to go with, make sure that you want to stick with that for a really long time. Okay. So make sure it's a good domain name. Make sure it's you use all these tips, and I hope that you found them helpful. And by the way, you guys, if you did find them helpful, let me know. Comment on this through social media or something. Contact me because I really want to hear your opinions. So this is it for our digital marketing segment. We are going to move on now to the interview with the founder of Lebne by Lulu, Layal Seredin. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Boutique Digital Marketing. Once again, I'm Maria Sekali, and today I have a very special guest with me. She does homemade labneh. She's going to tell us all about her exciting new venture. Her name is Layal Seredin, and she is with me today. Hi, Layal.
Hello, how are you, Rita?
I'm good. Thank you for asking. Thank you for being on my show today. I'm really excited to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Layal, tell me a little bit about yourself.
Yes, so I am a stay-at-home mom. I have 4 kids and a busy husband as well. I have, ever since I got married, I've been making labneh, which is like a yogurt spread to those who haven't heard of it. It's like a nice, you could put it in a sandwich and, you know, and it's really healthy for you. It's dairy.
And so it's a Lebanese favorite too.
Yes, it's Lebanese and I'm Lebanese and, you know, whole family is. And I've always made it at home. I make it the homemade way. From scratch, starting with milk. And the kids have always loved it and it's their favorite. And they're very picky eaters one of my kids has been like a picky eater ever since he's been young, since the baby. And he always picks that in the morning for breakfast. Anyway, so I started baking it at home and it occurred to me this year because of everything that's happened over, you know, the COVID-19 and staying at home and the kids being at home. I've always wanted to branch out and do something on my own. And it's been very hard to do that with that happening, mm-hmm. that crisis happening and the kids being at home. So I decided to go ahead and maybe do something, but branch off of something I'm already doing. So mm-hmm. I thought, okay, I'm already making labneh at home mm-hmm. and it's pretty delicious. And I have been to the stores and it's not there. Like this kind of labneh is not available there. There is labneh out there, but it doesn't, it's very, the homemade labneh has a very distinct taste. It's a little more sour, a little more salty. And my kids don't like it very much from the store, but there's other people that like it, but that's whoever likes, you know, they have their specific tastes. But since it's not out there, I decided maybe people would like it. So I decided decided to make it at home and start selling it. So that's kind of a little chunk. I talked to pretty quickly, but that's a little chunk of what my story is like.
I love it. That's actually really exciting. The fact that you took this time, because I know a lot of people looked at this, you know, pandemic time and said, hey, I'm bored at home. I don't want to do anything, you know, and they didn't use this time to actually branch out and do something exciting, but you did. So that's exciting. Tell us a little bit about that experience, you know, you are a stay-at-home mom, and I'm assuming that's what mm-hmm. you were doing before the pandemic as well?
Yes, I was a stay-at-home mom, and I was looking for, like, you know, something that I could do, maybe get a job, maybe start something on my own. And I've always been, like, happy to be in the kitchen. It's kind of, I'm passionate about being there and doing, being well at doing certain things. Not everybody can get everything right, but I enjoy mm-hmm. cooking, and I enjoy making things homemade and actually, I do analyze calories and I analyze what's healthier for our bodies these days. So that was something that I wanted to put out there as well. Like it's not easy to start off. I've never owned a business before. Mm-hmm. So this is brand new to me. And I just wanted to start something at this point in my life. I'm in my 30s and I felt like, you know, being a mom is wonderful, but I also want to do something a little bit on the side for myself. Yeah.
So what was the first step that you took? You had this, you know, like idea and what happened?
So the first step is, I think I just hopped on Instagram immediately. First, I'm like, the very first step was perfected the batch of labneh. Mm-hmm. I wanted to make it perfect. I didn't want it to be too salty. I wanted it to be perfect, like, you know, for the general public too. Mm-hmm. It's not just for how I like it salty, mm-hmm. but I made it perfect. So to me and to my husband, and I had others taste it, and I wanted to make sure that it was the right mm-hmm. recipe. Once I got that down, you know, I also overlooked all expenses, how much it costs to get all the ingredients. I did do some financials. And then I finally decided to do a little photographing. I took some photographs of the labneh and I made some, you know, I mm-hmm. thought of a little bit of how to, you know, target people. And I opened Instagram and I made this little Instagram page with a few photos. And then I also opened Facebook not long after. And I also sought out my husband because he's very good at this stuff. He's very techie and he's always on the computer. So he helped me out with that. So that was the first step, just perfecting the recipe mm-hmm. and like starting something and, you know, showing the labneh and selling it, basically, like kind of announcing how to sell it.
So you had an idea and then you turned that idea into a product that you can actually sell. Yeah. You tested your market. So I'm putting these into words of like maybe like a little bit of business words, which is you're doing amazing. With, so. But the reason why I'm doing that is because other people who are listening may have a different sort of business. So to see that what you're doing is actually the right steps. These are actually the right things. You know, like you had this idea, you're like, let me figure out what my product is. Let me perfect my product, do some market research, you know, get people's opinion, get feedback. And then you ventured out. Legally, what entity do you have? Do you have a sole? Do you have, you know, a partnership?
My husband kind of like, I sought him out to like help me out with, you know, getting a business license, looking at all of the legal requirements, even just the sanitary part of it as well. When you want to go out and start making a product, especially from home, there's some requirements. So we did do that research. It's still in process with the licensing and everything, but it's all good. And we are also looking to get it certified organic,
I love that.
An organic version of the labneh, because I feel that that's where California is heading. Like I noticed with all the trends and everything that's happening, everyone really cares about what they're putting into their body. And if it's organic, there's a large customer base in that space. And once it's like certified organic, you feel like it's also it's more legitimate and people feel safer buying it as well. And that is also a process. It's I think around 2 to 3 months process, and they actually come and they check it out and where you're making it, how you're making it. All of these are specifics in regards to like the business side of it. Also, my husband is kind of taking care of it. So I could say that we're our partnership. It's a partnership with my husband.
Hopefully it's an everlasting partnership.
You know, it's a partnership already, you know, bonus.
you become one and, you know, that's it. All the way through. So that's actually really exciting what you're doing. What do you say to those who do like maybe are interested in cooking and want to start something like what you've started? What was a challenge maybe that you faced, or, you know, something that you didn't know and now you're like, oh my gosh, thank God, you know, someone told me, or I found this out. Yeah.
So I think that, I really think that the fear, just, you got to overcome that fear. I was so afraid of what people would think. I was afraid of what obstacles would come in my way before I even came up with the idea. I came up with the idea, but just doing anything, just, you have to really just focus on one step at a time, because if you're worried about all of these things, you kind of scare yourself into out of it. You don't want to do it anymore. I thought of how am I going to do the business side? How am I going to, you know, I wanted to figure out every single step, but sometimes you have to go ahead and start it, and then slowly the steps will fall into place. Like even delivery, anything with shipping it. Oh, I don't know how to do that. How am I going to open an account? All of these things, I'm not incapable, but I haven't done these things for years. I've been married for 11 years now. And it's just personally me and my husband, he takes care of some of these things, and I'm not really used to it. Like, I'll pay a few bills, but he's used to doing all of the stuff that, and he's always taken charge. So I was very, very, hesitant. Mm-hmm. So I think I give the advice to anybody who wants to start from home, selling something from home, or they have an idea, it does require research, but you should just kind of jump into it, or you're going to scare yourself out of it right away.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think if you don't, there are some things that you definitely need to know, but some things that you figure out along the way, and it's trial and error.
Definitely. But and it's not as scary as people think. I'm kind of an introvert. I've always been that way. And growing up, I was always always double check before I do things, always take the safe way. But it's not as scary. What is the worst thing that can happen? Just ask yourself. And then what can happen that you couldn't solve? Mm-hmm. You can solve almost everything. There's always mistakes. You learn from your mistakes. And then later on, if you didn't go through this hardship or things that happen unexpectedly, it doesn't make you who you are to the mm-hmm. present time today. So everything's a lesson, I think. And I'm so happy I did it. I will never turn back. I'll just keep doing it. Or if this doesn't work out, I'll try something else. I'll just keep going until I succeed within myself, you know?
Yeah. That's brilliant. Do you ever feel like you want to quit? I'm done.
No.
Good. Okay.
In regards to I have so many responsibilities. Are you talking in general, or
in regards to the business, do you ever feel like the other responsibilities that catch up?
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to just stop my, doing laundry and the dishes all the time.
Right.
But in regards to my business,
I'm going to get this done.
It gets me so excited. I want to get all of my regular chores and things I need done so I can get to this.
I love it.
Of course, have priorities, but it gives me so much new energy that I didn't even know I had, because mm-hmm. it comes from a passion. And I also want to make people happy. I want people to like it. It makes me so happy. It overjoys me when I get a review or someone just telling me it tastes wonderful. It doesn't even have to be, from anyone I know, or, it's complete stranger makes me even more happier, because I feel like this is something new to them, something that they like. And, it's, if I didn't do this, then
none of
this would
exist. I actually have a really good review for you. So I met you when there was a fundraiser for Lebanon. We're kind of doing this thing, and I tried the Libni, and I bought a tub, right? And it was really, really good. And then that same evening, my mom and my dad and I went to a Naish place, which is a Lebanese pizza for anyone who doesn't know. And there was this girl who was talking mm-hmm. about food, and she's how much she loves food and so forth. And I'm like, oh, I got this Libni today that was really good, which, by the way, I love the Libni. That was really, really good. And then I brought the tub over and I handed it to her and she loved it. Like, she went crazy. Oh, she's like, wonderful. This is so good. I'm like, yeah, take it. It's okay.
Oh, that's wonderful.
She was so happy, Leia. Like, you really, like, I mean it. That. It was so.
I love like, you, that. I'm so happy
you
to
made
hear.
Her day. Your love name made her day.
Thank you so much. I love hearing that. I love that. Also, in regards to the Lebni, I love that we're kind of bringing back our origin. That's like Lebni has been around for so many years, and not just in Lebanon, in other countries. Mm-hmm. There's so many Middle All Eastern countries Middle East, yeah. that have had it. So it's around, and the fact that I can kind of bring it home, because really our grandparents and great grandparents and, you know, our elders used to make it this same way. I just took it from my grandma's, yeah. you know, like I just took it the way and my mom taught me, and then I'm making it just the same way. Maybe I perfected, you know, the salt a little bit, but it's very simple and it's very refreshing. So I'm very happy.
It's really good.
That people around recognize Lebni, and they still they know its original taste. Most people that you know have had, you know, grandparents and older people as well. But that's wonderful to hear. I'm so happy to hear that. That's wonderful.
Good. I'm glad. You know what, the Lebni from like the processed Lebni, I always feel like there's like a more liquidy texture to
it's smooth.
Yeah, it's like abnormally, like it should not be this smooth, you know?
I don't know. It's not terrible. Some people have a liking to it.
I like it. But
it's definitely distinct.
It's different.
Different taste than this. If you taste this, it's a completely different taste.
Yeah, it's definitely different. But my mom used to make like homemade Lebni all the time. So that's why I'm like, when I saw your product, I got really excited. I'm like, oh, like I want to try this. This is really good. So. I love it. What's it like being a mom in business?
Oh my goodness.
Especially it's with exciting. Everyone at home.
The kids are like, oh mom, you have something new, like something else that you're doing.
You exist, but the kids, you're a person?
Like you have, what are you doing? And I'm like jumping up and down when I get an order. And they're like, why are you jumping up and down? What's going on? Why are you happy, mom? Why are you jumping? And I'll be like, oh, I got an order. They notice that it's something that gets me all excited, but they also like to help around. So I'll be like, oh, do you want to cut out these stickers or whatever for the Lebni, or get me these containers or get things done. They love to see that I'm happy about something extra, but you know, they're kids. They don't notice a lot. But for me, being a mom, I'm happy that I actually didn't know I was capable of that much.
Doing both.
Yeah, like I have the kids and I thought, oh, you know, no, I can't do this in the beginning. You know, your insecurities. I can't do this. How am I going to do, you know, start a business? I have four kids. I have lots of responsibilities. I do a lot of the, you know, groceries, everything for the house. I do all of that stuff. And we live a traditional life, I guess, or the roles are traditional. And, you know, my husband works a lot. Sometimes he's out of the house all day. I do almost everything, do the errands, take them to school, do all that stuff. So having that, it really weighs on you going, oh no, I have enough, even though my time is full, like I'm full, but having the Lebni, it's just, I don't know how I squeezed it in there, but it's just something to look forward to. So being a mom and doing it just makes me more proud of myself. I'm just happier because I can do that. Dishes might not get done on time, but you know, I can that and this and that. And then I'm proud that I'm capable. And I sleep better at night knowing that I'm kind of satisfying myself and I'm pleasing my family, because I can't imagine not schooling my children. I can't imagine, even though like some moms are free to do so and it's a wonderful choice, but I can't imagine not doing these things because I'm watching them grow every day and they grow so quickly. Like I can't believe I blinked and the twins are 5 and they were like 2 not long ago. It's just how big they're running around. They're completing each other's sentences. They're doing everything. And I'm just like, how did you become so big? I'm here in the kitchen. How did that happen?
I love it.
They grow very quickly.
They do, and it's, and I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with those who choose to be a stay-at-home mom. It's actually a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Really, like, I think society chastises this idea, but as you said, you can do both. You can be a stay-at-home.
You can
stay-at-home in parentheses because
I found a way to do it. Yeah.
What do you recommend?
I didn't want to leave.
What do you like? What advice would you give mothers that are in or were just stay-at-home mothers and they're contemplating doing what you are doing right now?
Yeah, see, this is not a bad route to go. I feel like I couldn't commit to, like, even though it is a choice for everybody, but I couldn't commit to leaving. Like, I was looking for maybe a part-time job or doing something to leave the house, but it came down to, hey, for me, I really wanted to prioritize their, you know, especially this year. This year mm-hmm. has impacted us greatly. I could have replaced myself with someone that would school them and do all of the necessary things, but I felt like, I was missing mm-hmm. something. Like I would be regretting it. So I decided to stay and do that. But to the moms out there that want to start at home, it's doable. And, you know, even if it doesn't succeed or right away, you could just keep trying or try mm-hmm. different methods and try different ways. It's not the end of the world. And you can't, like, I really didn't know that I would get to me. I feel like I've gotten far in such a short amount of time. I just started, and it's just, mm-hmm. it's wonderful getting the feedback. And most of my feedback is from moms, from other moms.
That's like amazing.
It's so nice. And the way, and you have more to talk about. You have a wonderful, you know, conversation subjects when you're talking to other people. It's wonderful to be able to share that with other people and just like get more opinions. But anyway, bottom line, I think my advice to other moms is that they should go for it, whatever's in their heart. And really, they know inside how they would go about things or if it's doable or not, because everybody's in a different situation. Everyone lives a different life. You don't know what's behind closed doors in every house. You have
100%,
no idea.
So, 100%. Yeah. I love it. Well, Leah, thank you so much for being on with me today. Can you tell our audience the website where they can find your labneh? Where can they order? How do they find you on social media and so forth?
Yes, we do. We have labneh by Lulu on Instagram. It's at labneh, LEBNEBYLULU. And we also have our website. You can go directly to the website. You'll see all the links to the Facebook and the Instagram. And that's www.gotlebne.com. And it's a wonderful, if you haven't tried it, try it.
It's really
great.
Good, you guys. It really is really good.
And if you... Yeah,
I'm not getting paid to say that. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay. And if you do know really labneh, good. I'd love for you to compare it to the other labneh that you try. Maybe it's something that you would like. It's definitely a healthy choice. And the kids, you know, if you have kids, it's really a good alternative to the regular cream cheese or whatever that they eat usually. Mm-hmm. This one is quite and it's actually low in calories per serving. It's less than the regular labneh out there or the other labnehs. Yeah. But anyway, I'd love if you'd come check out the website and, you know, add me on Instagram, Facebook as well. And we'd love your feedback. I love any kind of feedback. Leave some comments, likes, anything. It's wonderful. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. Thank you so much, Leah. And again, you guys, if you want to find me, you can do that at The Word with Rita. This is how you connect with me personally. You can do that at The Word with Rita on Instagram, on Facebook, and on Twitter. And if you want to watch my stuff on YouTube, you can do that. youtube.com/Rita. If you want more information about the business and how to develop your business and grow your business, you can do that at boutiquedigitalmarketing.com. You could email us at info@boutiquedigitalmarketing.com, or you can just follow us on social media. Again, Facebook, Instagram, at Boutique Digital Marketing. Thank you so much for listening to our show today. Thank you, Leanne, and I will be with you guys next week. Bye for now.